Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson as we welcome you to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world. And hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, and all across North America. And even in the small community of Canton, Ohio, we are, have listeners on board with us tonight, and we've got a fantastic show. Joining us in just a little bit, Joe Vitale, drummer extraordinaire. Gosh, he's played with everybody and anybody. This is going to be a fantastic hour as we listen to some of his new stuff, and also Joe Jr.'s song. So this is going to be an exciting hour. As always, manning the controls over in the fine state of Virginia, our studio producer and technical engineer, Billy Willard, and from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, newly renovated, the honorable, distinguished, and always humble, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Tell us what's going on at the Wildlife Preserve this evening.
Well, I walked outside, and I'm looking up into the sky, and I could see every star. So that tells us tomorrow's going to be absolutely beautiful when we load up our animal family and head off to the community of Brownsburg, Indiana, to do a program for the elementary school there. So we're all excited about that, especially Elizabeth the baboon. So
Yes, a lot of people that don't know, you have quite a large preserve of animals there, tigers,
yes.
Wolves, like you said, monkeys,
lemurs,
birds, snakes,
gators.
Quite the place. Gators. Yeah, a couple dozen gators.
Yeah, a couple dozen at least.
Yeah.
And you know what was the most exciting part of my day yesterday?
You brought the gators out?
No, it's too early for that. They're talking winter weather next week.
Oh, that's great.
I was actually able to hook up the hose and use it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm afraid to.
It's okay. I'm telling you, I did it all day today, and the bears are so excited because I filled up their trough, and wow, spring's finally here, Dad. So that's all cool. This part of Wild World is brought to you by Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo.com. You need to go to the website, Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot. 6 hours of video available for $4.99. If you've been followers of the Discovery Channel, shows like Not Finding Bigfoot, Sasquatch Legend Meets Science, all these great documentaries they've done for the last few years, be sure you check out the website and the video. It's available for $4.99. 6 hours of edutainment with Billy Willard, Steve Calls, Melissa Hovey, myself, and, of course, the infamous Bob Gimlin. It's all there at ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com.
It's a must.
It's a must. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for March 20th. Well, it's about 46 degrees here in Naptown, and as we all know, spring began today at 12:57 p.m., and we were happy to see it arrive.
Oh, we had a party here.
Did you?
Yes, we did. We enjoyed cookies and cake. And punch.
I can picture Elizabeth, your olive baboon, in a little party hat.
Oh, she wore it for about 2 seconds. Then it was gone.
And then it was gone.
Yeah.
Forever.
Pretty much.
Well, let's start out the Wild World News tonight with homing snakes.
Oh, my.
Yes, now scientists studying the invasive giant Burmese pythons that infest Florida now have discovered that the snakes can find their way home. Researchers
Burma?
Almost.
Okay.
Now, researchers at the Davison and U.S. Geographical Survey have trapped six Burmese pythons in Florida and placed radio transmitters in them. Now, they took them about 20 miles away and released them. The snakes immediately headed back, taking direct course. Yeah, now it took the snakes, some of them, 3 months to, 200 days to get back to their neighborhood. But, yes, snakes have the homing ability.
My question, did they release them in northern Florida, or did they say?
Well, it was just up to 20 miles away from the Everglades, so.
Oh, I see.
Any direction.
Well, but here they're trying to get rid of them and catching them.
Yes, and they're turning them loose so they can go back home.
And setting them free again.
Yeah, and, last year they had a bounty on them.
Well, the bounty would work if they did it right. You know that, don't you? That wiped out wolves in the United States. It made a heavy toll on cougars at one time.
Yep.
And you get a few of those Floridians down there with a chance to make a little money hunting some snakes, they would do it.
Well, it has worked, but there's no way that they can control the population. It is just out of hand right now.
Yeah.
All right, well, be careful if you're catching a wave in Honolulu. Warning signs are being posted at the Waikiki Beach after Galapagos sharks were sighted there.
Oh, my.
Yes. Galapagos.
Yeah, I heard that. Excuse me.
Yes, quite away from home.
A little bit.
Yeah, we're going to keep an eye on this story because it's quite unusual.
I've never heard of that species. So are they aggressive or is that known, Dr. Day?
Yes, they are aggressive. Due to their smaller size, that for some reason they seem to be more aggressive.
Because everything on that island is so peaceful, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no predators, per se, just tortoises and blue-footed boobies and marine iguanas and that sort of thing.
And
but anyway.
Yeah.
All
right, looks like we're serving up appetizers in Spearfish, South Dakota. Al Shoemaker and his wife will keep a closer eye on their Shih Tzu Popeye after the small dog was almost attacked by a bald eagle. Yes, he went out to do his business. A bald eagle came down and rolled him across the yard like a bowling ball.
Oh, my.
Yes, luckily he wasn't injured. But that's, for our listeners, if you live in eagle country, don't let your chihuahua go out unattended.
That's good idea.
All right, we're headed off for a big fish powwow in Denver, Colorado. Colorado and New Mexico have teamed up with Native American tribes and several federal agencies to conserve the Rio Grande cutthroat trout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, officials signed an updated conservation agreement earlier this month to make sure that the cutthroated trout will not become endangered.
Wow. Are you a fisherman, Joe?
I am a fisherman. I spent a lot of time growing up in Florida.
Wow. The voice of Joe Vitale. Have you ever been fishing out west for trout?
No. When I lived in Colorado, mm-hmm. and I lived up in the mountains with up there when Joe Walsh first got together, we got together, and we were so busy, and, we were hardly there because we started touring and back in those days we were on the road 250 300 days a year. So
wow.
Yeah, those were busy days, and we never got a chance to, but when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
I did a whole lot of fishing in Florida.
Oh my. And I have to tell you at this very moment, or I'll forget to mention it later, that the first time I heard Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh, Joe Vitale, and Barnstorm was in the mountains of Estes Park, Colorado.
Oh,
it's very
there
cool.
Many times.
That's
a pretty spot in the world.
It is. We've got an underwriter that we'll talk about in a little bit. Okay, Dr. Day.
I just want to say that's one of my favorite areas too.
Well,
all right. Now, who do we know at the Albuquerque Zoo?
We know Doug Hodel.
Doug Hodel, that's right.
Is he in the news?
Well, we're heading off to Albuquerque, and hopefully Doug's listening in tonight. Now, the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo is caring for a new tiny bird known as the Socorro dove. Now, zoo officials said that the breed is extinct in the wild and only 100 exist in captivity.
Oh, my.
Yeah, now, the zoo currently houses 25 Socorro doves as part of its special breeding program to increase the bird's population. Now, the zoo staffers have said that a white dove is serving as a foster mother to the new chick, which
That's
I don't
cool.
know why the other doves aren't taking care of it, but it will hopefully join the flock this summer.
We'll keep up to date with Doug Hodel from the...
Yeah, we'll have to talk to Doug and see how these little Socorro doves are doing.
You know, though, I have a funny feeling, being he's in charge of the reptile department, that the reptiles and the avian people do not...
Well, the last time we talked to him, he had his hands in quite a few things there at the zoo, so...
Yes.
You just never know.
That's right.
All right, well, nobody likes to get a shot. Waco, Texas, a bull in no mood for vaccinations led police on a chase down a city street before horse-riding, lasso-yielding officers were able to wrangle the animal.
I hope there's video.
Yes, I do, too.
There's nothing funnier than police officers chasing livestock.
Yeah, we won't go into that, but yeah.
No.
Now, remember the other day you were asking me what the moose count was in Jackson, Wyoming?
Oh, I do remember. What did you tell me?
Well, volunteers and biologists recently counted 275 moose in the valley, an increase of almost 40 animals compared with last year's count.
Oh, good.
That is good.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And they also sighted a couple of flying squirrels.
Oh, my.
Now, if you live in bear country, beware. Black bears will soon be emerging from hibernation. Now, wildlife officials say that adult bears without cubs usually begin coming out of their dens in mid-March. Now, mothers with cubs usually come out a little later, usually like mid-April to early May.
Yes.
So if you live in bear country, beware. And also, you can check with your local wildlife officials. A lot of them offer programs on how people can protect themselves from bears, lions, and wolves in the backcountry.
Well, lions and wolves, they don't have to worry about. Bears, black bears are big chickens. Though I have to say, and they don't really hibernate. You know, if it's a nice day in the middle of the winter, they'll come out of their dens. Not like a woodchuck, which sleeps all winter.
Well, you know, you have two big ones that reside there with you.
Yeah, and when it's nasty weather, they don't come out. They don't eat. But I have to tell you that this spring, because we'd had such a brutal winter, that the two bears that we had, I was kind of reluctant, because normally I'll just hand them their feeding bowls. And we've been doing it with paper sacks until they got their bellies a little bit full and they weren't so aggressive after not eating for a couple, 3 weeks. In this
I'm the same
stuff.
Way.
Yeah, my uncle was the same way too. But we won't get into that. Dead air.
All right, well, let's continue then. Well, it looks like it's going to be a bad year for the royalty. Yes, monarch butterflies. Might be a little harder to find this year, according to butterfly trackers. And now, 2014 may go down as one of the worst years ever because of several issues occurring in Texas. As we know, the colorful insects are under stress because of ongoing drought, the unusually cold winter, and a lack of milkweed, their primary source of food.
Oh, well, Godspeed for them.
The last couple of years have been hard on the monarchs.
Weren't you down in Mexico where they come in and
migrate? Panama, when I lived in Panama.
Panama, that's right.
Yes, I was there for the butterfly migration. And we had a little airport for single-engine planes right next to the Panama Canal.
Hmm.
And I would take my cayuca, which was a little wooden carved-out boat the natives made, and sail out into the canal, paddle out. And I paddled out during the butterfly migration. For 3 days, the air was full of butterflies. The
wow.
Panama Canal was covered with with butterflies that didn't make it all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a covering that went on for 3 days. I've never seen anything like it.
Hmm. I'll bet. Any video?
No, in those days we didn't have videos.
Yeah, I was being
No, we had the Super 8s, but no videos. But, yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I'll bet.
All right, well, guess who got older this week?
All of us.
All of us, yeah. but John Sebastian of the Love and Spoonful turned 70 this week.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Do you know John, Joe?
Do I what?
Do you know John Sebastian?
I don't know him personally. We did a few shows with him when I was with Crosby, Stills, and Nash all those years. He always would end up on some show we did or a festival or something. And he's pretty quiet and a very nice person, though. And I never really got to know him that well.
I see. Okay.
He does just seem like a nice guy.
He's a very, very nice person.
All right, country singer Charlie Pride turned 80 this week.
Well,
Mike Love of the Beach Boys is 73.
Well, there we go. Now, Joe's worked with the Beach Boys.
Yep.
He's toured with them, so.
And singer Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone, one of my favorite bands, turned 71 this week.
I wonder if he showed up for his own birthday party.
I doubt it. Yeah, they always prepared too much for their shows and never showed up.
They never arrived.
Well, that's true. That's true.
All right, well, it's time for the Wild World Facts.
Oh, good.
On average, people fear spiders more than they do death.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I happen to like spiders, so I'm a fan of them
as well.
A giant squid's eyes has a diameter of 15 inches, which is the largest of any animal on Earth.
My Lord. Yeah, I did not know that.
That's quite a big eyeball.
My gosh.
Now, the fall and spring equinoxes are the only two times during the year when the sun rises due east and sets due east, which is today. But here in Indiana, the sun has already set.
So did you try the egg trick?
No, I didn't today. I ended up working late, so I didn't get to play with eggs today.
Okay.
But I usually do.
I know. You know, they'll stand up on end. I've seen it.
For those of our listeners who don't know, on the vernal equinox or the prenumeral equinox, the fall equinox, you're said to be able to balance an egg easier on that day. Mm-hmm. Scientists have done surveys and studies, and they're not really sure if it makes any difference or not. But a lot of people balance eggs on the equinox.
I got to have something to do, you know.
Yeah, well, I like to think it does.
They're still a little hungover from St. Patrick's Day, so, you know, what the hey.
That's right, and because of the spring came early this year, because of the, what is it, the, oh, never mind.
Salamander migration.
Every 4 years there's...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't think of what that's called.
Yeah, me either.
Are you talking about leap year? What are you talking about?
The leap year.
There we go. Thank you. That's the voice
Willie.
Of Billy Willard.
Leap year.
He's the walking encyclopedia here.
All right. Let's finish this up, and let's get on with our show.
Okay.
I want you all to think, as you're drifting off tonight, you're just about to fall asleep. Remember, lightning strikes the earth about 8 million times a day.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Day.
Yeah, that's the Wild World News for March 20th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, now HD. Newly renovated, it's very exciting. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I'm very anxious to do so. We want to remind everyone that this part of the program is brought to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do. Also, our wildlife education programs traveling across the country to schools and different nature centers and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service with our animal family. And if you'd like to contribute to our work, you can do so. Go to my website, www.LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. All the information is there, and we encourage you, lots of pictures of animals, and our Facebook page, group page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. Now it's time, our first grade teacher, our teacher of the year, Mrs. Swihart on Blog Talk Radio. louder.
Yeah, our studio technicians are adjusting their equipment.
Well, you know, what can I say? I'm not shy. I'm not quiet. You know, you get what you pay for, man.
That's pretty much the truth. So how is things in the scenic Warsaw, Indiana?
Oh, a little bit slushy and saucy and, you know, a few flakes flew today, but it's okay. It was sunny. Outside recess, that's all that matters to me.
Oh, that's right. And those first graders. You know, Mrs. Swihart, tonight we have rock and roll royalty on the program.
I know.
And Joe Vitale's told us that before the show that his wife's maiden name is Swihart, and she also was a teacher.
Yes. Yep. That's very cool.
That is.
That means that there are very few good women out there, but he must have one, and then there's me.
There you go.
Well, is the spelling the same?
S-W-I-H-A-R-T. I don't know. Is it, Joe?
That's the same.
Yeah. Maybe we're related.
You probably are at some point.
Oh, heck, we all are, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, so.
So what's happening in the first grade? We're so anxious to hear.
Well, you know, I am a rock and roll fan, and this doesn't have anything to do with first grade except that it did mess up first grade for about 5 minutes this week.
Oh.
Because you know, Joe, I do love rock and roll. I am a Kiss fan. And guess what went on sale this week?
What?
The Kiss Def Leppard tickets. And so at 10 o'clock on, I think it was, 10 o'clock, was it yesterday or Tuesday? I can't even remember. My boys and girls just had to sit quietly for 5 minutes while Mrs. Flyhart was on the computer placing her order.
It's priorities.
I'm like, look, kids, Mrs. Flyhart works for you all day long, all night long. I dream about you. I do everything I can possibly do for you, but the next 5 minutes, be quiet. Do not speak. I'm busy. So,
you know, the Kiss is going into the Hall of Fame this year.
I know, and I've heard all the grumbling about all that drama.
Yeah, there's a lot of ugly stuff going on, but...
Yeah. But
it's good that they're going in.
Yeah, a little... I think it's a little late. But anyway, I'm so excited because they're coming close to my hometown, and... I'm going to take two of my kids with me, and we saw them a few years ago, and it's just, I don't know. I just like to go to concerts. I'm a little unhappy at how much this one cost me, but it's okay. You only live once, right? And this teacher salary is just impressive. So.
just out of curiosity.
I'm going to work for the next 2 or 3 weeks to pay for these tickets.
Have you ever toured with Kiss, Joe?
We did way back when they were just starting out. And actually, they were very impressive because we were starting out. I was just starting out with Joe Walsh. And, you know, we didn't have any, you know, we weren't anybody yet. We didn't have any hits or anything on the radio, much of anything. And neither did Kiss. And we were just out touring together trying to make it. And they were very inspirational because we would open the doors to some building with about 20 people in it in some horrible smelling place, and we would play, and they would put on their makeup and do one heck of a show, and with 20 people out there, and it was very inspirational to watch them and see that, you know what, they really really gave it all no matter what. And you know, like I say, we were just struggling, both bands. We were struggling trying to make it, and in the early days. And, you know, we played every nook and cranny in every little town in America. And we would get discouraged at times because, you know, we wanted to be on the big time and the big circuit and the big places and all that. And that all eventually came. But, boy, I tell you what, in the early days, Kiss, they were really... I really respected that they gave a show no matter what, and they went on to be huge, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they happen to be the subject of many of my fantasies and dreams, just saying.
Uh-oh.
Just
all my first graders are in bed and they don't listen to this, so hey.
What happened in the first grade this week now that I'm changing the subject?
I know you are, because you're just going to try and keep it PG.
That's right.
Well, you know, St. Patrick's Day was on Monday. Mm-hmm. So I do a short study on Ireland, the culture, music, all the traditions, those kinds of things. All of our activities, our math games, everything was centered around St. Patrick's Day. We had leprechaun fizz to drink, and which is Sprite and lime sherbet put together. But
then
they made it a real fancy drink, you know. It took me all of like 30 seconds to whip up. And it's just all kinds of things. The kids, you know, half the class thinks that the leprechauns are real, half don't.
Of course.
They've been setting traps at home and trying to catch them, and, you know, they swear they are catching them. I don't know. I just kind of go with it, but, yeah.
What do you use for bait to catch a leprechaun?
Well, let me tell you, they're trying all kinds of things at home, but they've tried various candies.
Guinness.
That's a great idea.
I did too, but no, they're trying, I think, whatever their parents will allow them to get out of the cabinets. So they're trying, you know, different cereals, crackers, some chips here and there. And a couple of the kids built their traps out of Legos, which was very cool, very creative.
We're using
tissue boxes and just stuff like that, and they're pretty sure they've got it all figured out, but... and some of them, you know, their parents help out and, of course, leave a trail or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of with the whole Easter Bunny and Santa Claus theme. But it's cute. They like it. But they really do believe in the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow and the whole little leprechaun guy running around, which is kind of creepy. But
I wish I knew some midget wrestlers I could send up there.
Yeah. No, they just, you know, their little imaginations are fun.
That's great.
Yeah, and today we read, I have a small reading group, and we read The Three Little Pigs, which, you know, just a traditional old story. But what blows my mind is, you know, like when I was a kid, we all heard these stories. You know, I mean, everybody knew The Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, those kinds of things. But that's not the case anymore. You know, unless we make it a point to do those traditional stories, they don't know them. So today we did The Three Little Pigs, and you would think, I mean, I know it. You know, the wolf says, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down and out by the hair of my chinny chin chin kind of deal. And these kids in my little reading group kept saying, I'm going to puff her and huff. I'm going to puff her and huff. I'm like, huff and puff. Doesn't that come naturally? Huff and puff. Puff her and huff. Puff her and huff. I'm like, no. So, and I had a kid today tell me, hey, Mrs. Swihart, guess what? Guess what? And I said, what? Because, you know, when they say guess what, you just hope for the best.
Yeah.
But, I said, what? And he goes, my brother did his homework last night while he was sitting on the toilet. Lovely. Nice. That's great. I'm just glad he did his homework. I really don't care. But, you know, I kept my mouth shut, but what I really wanted to say was, well, your teacher graded your homework last night while she was taking a bubble bath. But I didn't say it. You know, I was good. But, so anyway, that's pretty much, there's a lot more going on, of course, but I know it really bores you. I know it does.
No, well, you know.
You're just faking it, you know.
I'm anticipating having some leprechaun soup as we speak.
Are you?
Yes, great.
What's in leprechaun soup?
Hmm?
Oh, when I said what's in leprechaun soup, that made me think of something else. Did you see all the headlines and all those that stuff about what's in Red Bull and Monster drinks?
No, I didn't.
Okay, this is animal related, totally animal related.
Okay.
Bull semen.
What?
Yeah, that's like all over the internet, and I saw it on Facebook, and I was looking it up with my son tonight because he drinks it. He'll no longer drink it. But,
well, how do you know it's true? It's the internet.
I know, but now you can't help but think about it.
Well,
you
that's true.
We were sitting there with my 11-year-old, and he goes, what's that? Oh, geez. Yeah. My son said it's something that comes out of their nose.
That'll work. Absolutely.
Well. Hey, it shut him up, so we're good.
Well, once again, a great job done by Mrs. Swihard. And the wonderful first graders, and she's not going anywhere because she always has lots to contribute to our show.
Yeah, I try and take over, don't I?
Oh, no, you don't. But,
yes, I do. You know I do.
But we can't wait, everybody. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Larry Batson on Wild World. And it's time, our guest, Joe Fatale, drummer extraordinaire, rock and roll legend. He's here with us tonight on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks.
Between friends.
o'clock, Doc. But man, Joe, that's hot.
Yeah, I mean, I was on my desk dancing.
All right.
In my mind, I have too much crap on my desk to actually get on it. But
that's
yeah.
Is that the new CD?
It is, and it's appropriate show for it. Sounds like a wild bunch of something.
Oh, that was incredible.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Who are the musicians that worked with you on this project?
Actually, I did most of the music, and my son, Joe Jr., played guitar.
Oh, man.
That's kind of the way I did most of my records. I play multiple instruments, but I don't play guitar at all, never will, and never wanted to, but I do play other things. It was a fun project to make. It took a while, you know. We independently do it, and there's no deadline, and there's no pressure, and it's kind of nice that way. But it's also you become a little bit, you know, lazy at times if you don't feel like doing it. When back in the day when everybody had record deals, you know, they were like calling you every day, you know, is it done yet? Is it done yet? And it's kind of nice to work on your own time, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Jimmy Greenspoon was on last week, and he all his projects. Do you, I assume you have a studio in your home?
Yeah, we have it's one in the area, in the neighborhood here.
I see.
Use. Yeah.
And he said, like, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and go to my studio and just play. And he says,
it's the way to do it now. Everybody seems to be doing that. And the digital world has enabled all of us to, I mean, you can have a full-on studio on a laptop. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what you can do today. It's not like when we started, there's no excuses today. That's the way I look at it, because it's so easy now to do your own production. You can do your own videos. You can put them on YouTube. You can, you know, the whole net is just, the social media is wide open. I mean, when we were younger and started out in this business, we'd have never dreamed that we could record our own record, make our own video, promote ourselves, and the entire world is able to hear it, at least in the
mm-hmm.
same day. It's we would have never thought, you know, that was possible. So today is quite an amazing technology out there for artists, for young artists, you know.
Oh,
can you imagine what it's going to be 20 years from now?
I can't even imagine.
I mean,
who knows? They're trying to get rid of CDs already. I mean, I still call them records, you know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sad about a lot of that. I really am. I don't.
I miss vinyl because two things. One, it sounded fantastic.
Yep.
And there is a definite difference that's been proven. And also, I like the actual thing to be that big so you can see a nice picture and actually read the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're so small, and there's no room for, you know, albums used to be like a piece of artwork, you know. You used to frame them, put them up on your wall if you wanted, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, like you said, the album was so, the kids, they don't realize what they're missing now.
No.
I don't think they do. I mean, they were born into a world, you know, post-vinyl, you know. I mean, there's vinyl out there, but nowhere near what it used to be. And,
right.
And also, it was really nice years ago for royalties because records would warp, crack, scratch, you'd wear them out or they would break or what have you, and they would buy another one, and we'd get paid again, which is always nice. And
mm-hmm.
And not everybody had a vinyl lathe in their basement to make records, you know. And now you can clone these things, and the piracy is ridiculous. And
so much ripping off going on out there.
Yeah, and that's not cool because, you know, I mean, you know, we got to make a living too. And I'd like to have the thing. If I want to own a CD, I just go out and buy the CD because then I have it, and I want to read the credits, and I want. And, you know, it's still, actually, for the amount of money and work that's put into making a CD, it's still a pretty good deal for, you know, 10, 12, 15 bucks, whatever they cost.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Yeah, the world, the whole world's changed by technology, of course, and but it's hit every area of life, and it's really hit us in a weird way, in a way, because it's great because we use all the technology, and but then it's a double-edged sword, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you've been working on something that's real exciting. In fact, I've had a chance to watch the programs on VH1 Classic many times.
Mm-hmm.
And you just finished up with a rock and roll fantasy camp that Mrs. Swihart wants to attend.
Yes, I do. I don't really know what
maybe
I would do.
Mrs. Swihart wants to come to the camp.
She does.
But what would I do there? Because I really don't. I don't have any skills, really. I mean,
well,
I say that, but I do have a lot of skills, but they're just not in that area.
Well, if you can sing, you can come to the camp.
Whoa! Okay.
Ask Billy Willard. Billy, tell him how well she can sing.
Billy, what should you say about me, Billy Willard?
Hey, why am I being put on the spot here?
Because, Billy Willard, I remember clearly what you said about me and my singing.
I said that you were a great singer.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. That was the second time around, Billy Willard, after you felt bad for what you said the first time around, which was... She gave it her best shot.
Well, it's for everybody. It's for beginners and advanced. It's for everybody. It's a fantastic thing. I'm a counselor. I'm a teacher there, and we get to put these bands together with these people, and they have the time of their life. It's a life-changing experience. And also, me personally, I get to play with all these big-time name guys. It's really a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah.
And
you know,
I know a lot of people by now in the business, but, you know, I know a lot of them, but you don't always get to play music with them, you know, and you run into them at concerts and stuff. But I've had quite a nice, fun year of doing that, and... I mean, I still tour and still do show regular shows on it, but the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, it's out in Las Vegas, and you know that's kind of a fantasy camp city in itself. But
I love Vegas.
It's fun, and the people have a great time. I'm getting ready to do another one here pretty soon, coming up in April. It's a blues camp,
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna have. A ton of people, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I just finished one we had Joe Perry from Aerosmith. Last year I worked with Jeff Beck and Brian Wilson and Sammy Hagar and the group Yes, and it's a revolving door of big names, and it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing it.
I would love to go. You know, I talk with the first graders all the time. What are your dreams? What do you want to do? Because growing up, I always wanted to be a teacher. I always did. I always wanted to be a mom. Those missions have been accomplished. But I always said I wanted to be a rocker, too, and I'm not a singer. But you know what? You should hear me in the shower. Wow, I can really, really sing.
I bet you rock in the shower and the car.
And the car. I'm really good in the car, let me tell you. And I do put on Facebook, I post stupid videos of me singing all the time, just because my 16-year-old dares me to sing to the drive-thru person at McDonald's and bring it. I'm not shy, so I sing to them. I sing in all sorts of odd places, and my kids are like, oh, my gosh, you did not just do that, Mom. I'm like, oh, yes, I did. But I love a good laugh, and I guess I'm worth that. But, you know, I do. I think that would be tons of fun. It was always a dream, and I don't sing well, but to these first graders, and we sing every single day, many different things, they think I am like the bomb. So
there you go. There you go.
That's what I've made here. Yeah, except they're only six. I'd like to do a little more than just that.
Well,
but.
That's your fan base. There you go. You just have to build from there.
Yep. Yeah, so that's really cool. The fantasy camp thing would be a lot of fun. You're lucky. That's a great thing that you do.
Well, it's you know, it's kind of modeled after. You know, years ago they had baseball fantasy camp,
uh-huh.
and you paid a lot of money and you went to the spring training and you got to get a uniform and you know somebody like Sandy Koufax would pitch to you and it was that talk about a fantasy for baseball wannabes, baseball player wannabes, that had to be amazing. And The whole thing was kind of modeled after that, that no other way would you ever get a chance to play with Joe Perry from Aerosmith or Jeff Beck or Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. So David Fischoff runs it, and he's set up a really nice thing, and it's very successful, and we have return visits all the time. People can't wait to come back, and so that to me is a success. You know.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Dr. Day,
were you getting ready?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I would love to go, but I'm too old now, so just...
No, you are not.
Oh, no, you're not too old.
Stop that. You're never too old for anything, except... No. Oh, no, that wouldn't be it either. I was going to say except thong underwear, but that's not true, because I will be 90 wearing that stuff, so...
Yeah, well, we're...
You can wear that. Yeah, you're not even too old for that, animal guy.
Yeah, well, there you go. You know, when I was going through your resume, Joe, I was excited because you started off your recording career with what I thought was one of the hottest records in the 60s with Amboy Dukes.
Journey
to the Center of Your Mind. My God, what a record that was.
Ted Nugent, yep.
Lord.
There's a big time animal guy. He's a lover of nature and animals,
but he shoots them.
Well, he shoots them, but you know, he does the other side of him. It's kind of odd. The other side of him really appreciates and loves nature, but then he goes out.
Well, we need to have him on the show. We need to have him on the show, and we need to have a chat with him.
Yeah.
Well,
I like his beef jerky. He test rides every piece before he makes it into jerky.
Oh, geez. But he is a wild man, and that was an experience. I was only 20. I mean, I was a young kid.
Can you
couple years ago.
Yeah. Can you remember the first time you heard that on the radio? Because they played it a lot.
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty big hit. I think that was probably his biggest hit
ever.
Yeah, well, ever, because he didn't have too many.
Cat Scratch Fever,
yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that was about it.
That's probably his biggest one. He's known for that. And, you know, that's his Rocky Mountain Way or, you know, that kind of song that he's, you know, you have to play every time you perform or else.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about Ted?
No, we're done with that. We're done with him.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I was grading a paper.
We were going to move on because I had a chance to see Joe when they came to Indianapolis at the convention center. In fact, I found out later that my wife Cheryl was also there that night, though we were not together. When Rocky Mountain Way was breaking, and Joe Walsh and Barnstorm and Joe Vitale, they were the bomb, man.
Well, that was a good band. You know, this year, 2014, Joe Walsh and Barnstorm, we were inducted into the Colorado Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And so we're going to later in the summer, I'm not sure the date yet, and we're waiting to see what the Eagles are doing as car, because that's his day job, and whenever they take a break, we're going to be able to perform. We're going to do the ceremonies and the induction, all that out in Denver. And it was us that was inducted, and Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, man.
And then Jimmy Gershio that owns Caribou Ranch, the big recording studio out there. So we're going to, later this summer, Joe Walsh and Barnstorm are going to play. We're all healthy and well and still able to play. And, you know, I mean, we're still in it. And we're looking forward to that. We haven't played together in a long time, but we're looking forward to that.
Are you going to play at Red Rocks? Or?
That's exactly where the ceremony is going to be. The induction and all that's going to be at Red Rocks.
Oh, my gosh. What
Which
a...
is a spectacular venue.
Oh, yeah. It is. I remember going there as a youngster. I thought, I need to see this, come here for a concert, because it's got to be phenomenal.
It's amazing.
But how do you breathe? You have to, with that altitude.
Oh, man, it is. Here's what you do. On the side of the stage, every time I've played there, on the side of the stage, they have oxygen tanks. You stick the mask on, and for about a minute, and you take deep, slow, deep breaths, and you get out there. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's hard to sing and playing drums or doing anything. And people that live there, I mean, like Danny Fogelberg, he lived in Colorado. He lived at 8,500 feet. It was nothing for him to sing in the mountains because he was adjusted and used to it, you know. But
sure.
People that live at sea level, they go out there, boy, you get real dizzy real fast, you know.
You're huffering and you're puffing. No, wait, you're puffering and you're huffering.
That's right, you're puffering and huffering.
And you're supposed to drink lots of water. We found that out, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to hydrate yourself for sure out there.
Oh, man. And that's not too far from my favorite place in the whole wide world, Estes Park, Colorado.
Yep. Have you ever been to Mount Mitchell?
In North Carolina?
You can drive kind of close to it. Then you got to get out of the car and hike.
And where's that at?
Mount Mitchell is south of Boulder.
Okay.
And it's huge, and it's a fun hike and a fun trip. But like I say, you gotta condition yourself to get ready for that because it can be dangerous up there if you're not used to it.
Well, I've gone to Estes Park and Rocky Mountain National Park for many years. I know that park like the back of my hand. And
yep.
It's spiritual. When you tell people,
it's amazing.
I mean, it's got to be inspirational for songwriters or musicians, you know.
Yep.
We're with Joe Vitale. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Gosh, what a great show. What fun we're having tonight.
Hurry up.
This is Dr. Henry Day, Amy Swihart, Larry Batson, and you're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's bobcat heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Oh, we'll be back with Joe Vitale, drumming superstar, in just a few moments. We want to remind everyone that this part of the program, and it is so appropriate, is brought to you by McGregor's Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. We call it God's Country, everybody. Right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, it's truly a spectacular place to spend your vacation. I'm telling you, folks, if you've never been to the West, you owe it to yourself to do it at least once in your lifetime. You will not believe it. Boundaries of Rocky Mountain, there's wildlife right around the cabins. Elk, mule deer. It's absolutely spectacular. Right there on the edge of Deer Mountain, a truly tremendous view. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Funny idea that, you know, when people always say it's not you, it's me. Well, he changed it around. It's called It's Not Me, It's You on a breakup deal. And it's a funny song. He plays it live, and the people love that song. And it's
great.
A great piece. And, you know, my son, when I was when he was like 9 and 10 years old, he'd come out on the road in the summer once in a while, and and Graham Nash pulled him up on the stage to play tambourine on Teach Your Children one night, and
wow.
and that ruined his life.
No.
It changed his life forever. He wanted, that's what he wanted to do. And when he was young, he wanted to be an astronaut. He went and did the camp down there in Huntsville that NASA puts on. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway. And he wanted to be an astronaut, and but then as time went on, and he got more involved with, you know, the bands and different stuff that I was doing, then that changed his mind. Actually, it's kind of good in a way because he'd be out of a job now because NASA is hardly left now. So,
well, but, and what a proud dad. That's so
cool.
Yeah,
he's doing real good, and he's keeping busy, and he started on a second album, and he's doing okay.
Well, it has to be just a blast for you guys being able to work together.
It is. It can be. It can be a little tense, too, because, you know, there's a very fine line between dad and son and producer and artist.
Okay.
But it worked out real good. We had a good time making the record.
Well, I was getting ready to say, I assumed you played drums on it. I could tell the style.
Well, actually, I played drums on some of it, but he started out with drums, and he's a very fine drummer. But he wanted to be out front there, you know, and so he picked up guitar, started learning that, and started singing, and so he does both, and that's actually that's a good thing, you know. But basically in his band, he's a guitar player out front singing and doing very well.
I think I was messing around looking on YouTube, and I saw you, the two of you. He was drumming, and you were there right there with him on a couple of videos. So yeah, that was neat. Making memories. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you guys are going to have to email me a mailing address, and I want to send you copies of my book.
We'd love to read that.
Yeah, you would enjoy it. It's a fun read, no dirt kind of book, a lot of fun, and it's got a whole ton of, like, about 750 pictures in it. And
wow.
It's a lot of fun to read. I'll be more than glad to send you guys copies.
Oh, well, we would love that.
Yeah, I'll be more than glad to read one. Yay, that's exciting. I like to read things that are outside of my field because it seems like most of my reading has to do with my career. But
well, it's very G-rated, and your first graders could read it.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Well, the way I'm teaching them, you're doggone right they can read it because they are darn good readers.
Well, maybe you should feature Joe's book during the reading circle one day.
There you go.
Maybe I should. That's right.
That's absolutely. I have to ask, you know, I've got a list of artists that you've recorded with and toured with, which is just phenomenal. So, and like I said, we love the rock and roll story, so I'm going to throw a couple names out here for you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite artists, and I know this has to be special for you as well, is John Lennon.
Yep. Yep, John Lennon. We got to work with him in the studio, and he was getting ready to do the Imagine record, and the way he did it in a very unique way. He called up a bunch of musicians and got together in the studio, and all we really did was he started playing, and we would jam through these tunes, and he was just kind of like test running them to see how they felt with a band playing him, and also other people's interpretation of his song. He would start the song, and we would play along, and then he would make some comments, and we did this. There's a whole chapter about this in the book that I'm going to send you. It was an interesting time. It was four Sunday nights that we did this in L.A., and the rules were two things: no cameras, which I understood, and then he said, and don't tell anybody, cause this is John Lennon, he's a Beatle, he's like one of the most famous of the four Beatles. Anyway, so somebody leaked it out, so it kind of ruined everything, but we did get four Sundays, we worked from like 12 midnight to 6 a.m. because it was under the radar, and no traffic, no, you know, it was just, everybody was asleep, and we were working, and the final Sunday night, we did it four Sundays in a row. The final Sunday night, we were done about 6 in the morning. walked outside. There was about 5,000 people waiting to see John Lennon. So that kind of, somebody spilled the beans and somebody, we were really, really mad because it was quite an experience. And he was wonderful to work with. And some of the people in this studio was, there were like some of the Rolling Stones were there and people like Van Morrison and Ringo was there occasionally, come in and out, and Ronnie Wood from the Stones, and just all these people. You know, it's John Lennon. He can have anybody he wants in the studio, you know, and I happened to be there with Joe Walsh, and I'm playing drums, and I look over, and there's Ringo's playing tambourine. I'm going, I tried to hand him my sticks. He goes, no, you play the drums, I'll play the tambourine. It was just a very, very casual kind of, it was like no pretentious, no none of that. It just was really, really an experience that I'll never forget. And like I say, we were all pretty mad because somebody spilled the beans, you know.
Oh, my Lord.
Happened, it was interesting to work with him to see how he worked, and it was brilliant the way he worked. He would just, let's try this part for a while, and it would work itself into a place in the song, and then he'd go to the next section, and he'd put it away. Now, I hope one of your listeners out there knows where these tapes are. They did record it, and there's no video of it because that was the deal, and which is very unfortunate, but well, for all of us, being selfish that we would want to be part of that. But anyway, it was recorded, and we don't know where those tapes are, what happened to those tapes. I mean, I would imagine Yoko Ono has those tapes because they keep pretty good tabs on all the stuff that John was doing back then. And so hope maybe someday they'll put it out, you know, how they keep putting out more and more stuff that they find, you know.
Yep.
Well, I hope so.
Elvis just keeps coming out with stuff all the time.
All the time.
You know?
He's been past tense for, 30 years now, so it's like...
I know, but they keep coming up with stuff, you know, that... Yeah.
Well, if you listen to the Beatles outtakes and how they put the songs together, I bet it was pretty much out when you guys worked with him.
Yep, same thing.
That they changed the arrangement, the tempo, and it was not... preset. There was no demo tape.
You know, it was like make it up as you go along, and then all of a sudden it settles into place, and it's a fantastic piece of music, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
And people today, a lot of people, they kind of stress over stuff. It's like it's supposed to be fun. We had fun. It was real fun and creative fun and no boundaries, no rules, none of that. Just creative fun. And what an experience that was for me. I've played with amazing people and I've had all kinds of those kind of, you know, similar experiences, but this has to be, this is paramount. This one was paramount, you know.
Oh, my. Well, I can remember watching the Mental Show that's on VH1, and they had Mick Jones and Leslie West were on, and they asked them what the best concerts they've ever seen, and they both said the Beatles.
That's right. I watched that show.
Oh, my. Leslie's going to be on the show here in the next few weeks, too.
I saw that metal show that was on, and and I agree with him. I saw the Beatles in 1965 at Cleveland Stadium. It was like $3.75.
Wow.
Couldn't see or hear a thing because we were in the nosebleed seats and the girls screaming. You couldn't hear anything, but I got to see them, you know.
It's just the event.
It was the event, yeah.
My gosh, that was, and I couldn't even imagine. Of course, I've told this story before. If they would have had really good management versus what they would have been. They went into a meeting on somebody was going to make Beatle T-shirts, and the people that were going to manufacture them was prepared to give the Beatles 60-70% of the proceeds.
Jeez.
Yeah, and Brian Epstein stepped into me and says, We have to have at least 26% of these proceeds.
Wow, man.
The two guys looked at each other and said, oh, well, we can work with that.
We can work that out. Yeah. Jeez.
Okay, here's another one. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yep. spent 35 years with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, now Neil, you know, Neil comes and goes. He's not always.
He does.
This is the way they say it now. They say CSN and sometimes Y.
Yeah.
And that's basically because Neil's got, you know, he's got a great career in his own solo career, and he works with Crazy Horse but I spent 35 years with CSN and Neil, you know, once in a while he would come in and recently one of the most fun projects I was ever involved with, and I'm not trying to toot my horn, I'm just was so honored and humbled that they picked me, was I was the drummer for the brief reunion of the Buffalo Springfield.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was just, they just did 7 shows, and it was like, are you kidding? Let's do 700 shows. It was so fun, and that was Stephen Stills and Richie Fury and Neil Young, and see, the bass player and drummer, original guys, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played drums, and Rick Rosas, who is Neil Young's bass player, played bass, and so we were the new guys, and we were the rhythm section, and it was the Buffalo Springfield, and they had never, ever had a reunion or played. They hadn't played since 1968.
Wow.
And we did this in 2011, and it was fantastic. It's just that I think Neil had so much on his plate at the time that he couldn't commit to it, and because he had already promised Crazy Horse that he was going to do some records and tour with them. And, you know, you never know. We may revisit it. Who knows? It was certainly fun, and everybody got along, and that had nothing to do why it was so short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
It was just prior commitments. I don't think anybody knew that it was going to be as big a deal as it was. And, I mean, they could have asked me, I'd have told them it was going to be like the mother of all reunions. It's one of the biggest reunions there ever was.
And still, for what it's worth, it's still one of the best singles ever released in rock and roll. I mean, that is still spectacular. I mean, and it didn't age at all.
No, it's still on the radio every day.
You know, at Music Digest, I have to confess, I put in a British Invasion of the 60s CD listening to it. And some of that music just didn't age very well. You know what I'm saying?
No, no.
When you listen,
some did, a lot of it did not.
Yeah, the Beatles, the Stones.
Beatles
Animal.
And the Stones. Yeah, the Yardbirds still mm-hmm. great. That kind of stuff. You know, even the Animals, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But there was a lot of stuff that didn't really last
long. Like Freddie and the Dreamers. I mean,
no. No.
Now.
Sorry, Freddie, but
keep dreaming.
You're dreaming. That's right.
Yeah,
keep all dreaming. Sorry.
Billy, let's hear another cut from Joe Vitale right here on Blog Talk Radio.
You're gone!
Florida.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, Joe.
Kind of says it all.
Yeah.
That's I say that about people say, when are you going to retire, when they dig the hole?
Right. That's right.
God, that's great.
Yep.
And, I also have to tell you before, one of my wife's favorite Eagles songs of all time that you co-wrote with Joe Walsh, Pretty Maids All in a Row.
Yeah, that's a very, very pretty song. It came out really nice. Very fortunate to have written that with Joe, and it ended up on that album and on Hotel California, and they perform it live every concert, and they do it beautifully, and Joe sings it great, and very, very cool. That very special song for me, because I don't really usually write ballads. Actually, neither does Joe Walsh. He does. We do and we don't. You know, we're not really known for writing ballads. And they wanted something like that from him, I guess, and he hadn't finished it. And so I helped him finish it. And so the rest is history. But, no, they do it. They perform it really beautifully. And on the Hell Freezes Over live thing, they did it with an orchestra. It was just great.
Oh, my. And you've toured with them besides recording?
Yes, I did tour with them, and that was a ton of fun. I got to be a kind of a, they call it a utility guy, because I played some drums and some percussion and some keyboards and you know, piano, organ, that kind of stuff. They, you know, you end up making records, and you have more stuff on the records than you have players in the band, and so I took up the slack of sometimes they had an extra keyboard part that I took that over, and then sometimes I would play drums and take over the harder fills. I would just play what Don Henley played, but to sing and play those at the same time is they get in the way, and it freed him up to say he's such a good singer. He's a great drummer, too, but, I mean, he's such a great singer that I was able to free him up to just concentrate more on the vocals. But it was a lot of fun to play with them. They're still out there, and they're a great band, you know.
Well, and I imagine doing that concert tour where it's sold out every night had to be, gosh, every show is an event.
Every show was sold. They sold out every seat in the entire 2 years that I was with them.
What a rush! What a great feeling that has to be.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I was like I say, I was just kind of like a on the side guy, you know, just a side guy, and not a member of the band, right? But they treated me like a member of the band. I was never really a member of the band, but a lot of guys do that now. They have extra guys on the stage with them, and a lot of bands are using hard drive recordings even, because a lot of records are overproduced now. You know, computers have enabled bands to really pile it on and tons of vocals and tons of instruments and this and that and the other, and kind of overproduced, and you get out there on the stage and, you know, unless you have like 20 people on the stage, it doesn't sound the same, you know, and so I do appreciate the Eagles. They're out there, and they play their songs, and they sing, and they don't use any kind of, you know, hard drive or tape or any of that kind of stuff. And you don't really have to. If you're a good band, you can sing good. You don't need all that.
Yeah.
No. And I remember hearing Joe Walsh say that, well, he said two things. He says Hotel California is still a challenge to play for him.
Yep.
He has to concentrate on that.
Oh, yeah, it's difficult.
And then he said on one show, and I can't remember what show that was, he said, you know, sometimes when I'm playing these songs every night, I wish I'd written better songs.
I know. That's one of his favorite quotes. He says, if I'd have known this was going to be such a big hit, I would have written a better song.
Oh, gosh.
That is so him. You know, that's pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he's so special, and he's in-laws with Ringo. Is that correct?
Yeah, we call him a Beatle-in-law. He's a Beatle-in-law.
That's phenomenal.
Not a bad family to marry into, you know.
Oh, I'm telling
you.
Gosh, almighty! You know, I want to thank you, Joe, because for all of the music that you played on that entertained us for so many, many hours, the backgrounds of our lives in the 60s and the 70s. And I sometimes think the artists don't realize how important these records and musicians are to us. And it's that's what's so special about doing our show is that we have a chance to talk. Well, I'm selfish. I like to talk to my musical heroes, and it's always a blast. And they're always really nice people.
Well, I appreciate that a lot, and I really appreciate what you guys do. I love animals. I love, you know, what you're doing and promoting, and you do such a fine job of it. And I've learned something new tonight, which I will remember, and which still is blows my mind, that the giant octopus has a 15-inch eye.
Squid.
I'm sorry, giant squid.
Squid,
Has a 15-inch eye, which is amazing because I don't know how their size compares to a great white, but the proportionate size of a great white's eye to the body is nowhere near what that is.
You know, and he was telling me, I said, that would almost be a great name for a band, the Squid's Eye.
Squid's Eye, I love that. It sounds like a new age, new young person group.
Well, we can't leave your boy out. We've got another cut we want to play before we take off here tonight.
Hey, before you do that, so tell me, I know you're on Facebook, but you know what? People like to look people up when they hear this kind of stuff. So I found you on Facebook, and I liked you on Facebook. But what about your son? Is he on Facebook?
Are you kidding? He's on every.
I'm sure he is, but
every social outlet and networking, and he does it all. Yeah, he's on Facebook, and
friendly.
Yes, please do. And Larry, email me an address. I'll send you guys some books. Send me addresses of all. I know you're from different parts of the world, so send me addresses, and I will get books out to you.
Messaged you on Facebook. Do you check your messages, or do you have somebody else check? Does your wife check your messages?
No, I do. I do.
Okay,
no,
I messaged you on Facebook. So
okay,
then you'll be able to put a face with my lovely voice.
There you go.
We also want to tell everyone Joe's website, www.joevitaliondrums. That's so cool.
I've been there too.
That is. We're not taking off with you, Joe. Yeah, we've got a couple of things we'll say. Well, here's Joe Jr. on Blog Talk Radio.
Like the prodigal child, I don't
Joe Vitale Jr. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Joe, thank you so much for being on tonight. It was an absolutely wonderful show. We appreciate
you. Well, thank you, guys. What a great time.
It was so nice to talk to you.
We want to do this again down the road.
Absolutely. You call me anytime. I'd be more than glad to talk to all you people. It was really, really a fun night for me.
Oh, fantastic. And good luck with the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp coming up. We'll be promoting that on the show.
I want to go.
Dr. Day and Mrs. Fired will probably show up on morning.
Yeah.
You'll be sorry now.
I'm not saying anything. Next week, Mitch Schechter with the Ripcords. Remember them, Joe?
Oh, man. You know what? I just worked with them because the lead singer from The Outsiders, we had a benefit for him because he had some health problems, and the Ripcords were one of the bands there.
Oh, he's on next week, so.
Oh, tell him hi.
I will do that. Folks, have a great week, everybody. Great show, Dr. Day, Mrs. Swihart, and you've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Joe. We want to see you again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good night.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.